Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I greet you this morning in that precious name of Jesus, the only name whereby we can be saved. What a blessing. As we think of the name Jesus, we think of him being born and being coming on this earth. And I don't know how about you, but down through the years, I struggled with the names, you know, the, can't think what I wanted to, genealogy. And one day, I discovered, probably someone sharing this, that all those names of genealogy lead up to the ultimate birth, Jesus Christ. And then that reading doesn't become so dull. It leads to something, to Jesus Christ. We have a list of those, some of that genealogy as well, in the New Testament. And this wasn't original with me, but have you ever thought of the fact that after the birth of Jesus is recorded in the New Testament, there are no other births recorded? Think about that. There are no other births recorded. We know there were many, and there still are. But praise God for the ultimate birth of Jesus Christ. And I trust that that means something to you. It's been a blessing to me. And may we never forget the purpose of Jesus coming into the world and dying, suffering and dying for our sins, that we could be saved. This morning, what a blessing. I consider it to be here. This body of believers, I've been here many times down through the years, and it's always been a blessing to come here. I was blessed by your singing this morning. And as I look over the audience, I'm blessed. You have the gray-headed, the seniors, you have the middle-aged, you have the young marrieds, and you have many in between there. You have elderly singles. You have children, young people, and lambs. This is all part of the blessing of the body of believers, of the church. And I praise God for that. We had it's been a number of years ago, we had a brother share a topic from another community one evening. And he made this comment. I don't know if he's talking about the home or what he was talking about. But he said, every family should have a single aunt to bless their home. And we had a couple that, thank God, they did that, but then later they got married. But I still think we need to recognize the blessing of every person in the congregation. This morning, I don't know why this came to me, but I guess I enjoy good food. And I was thinking about our dear wives as how they desire to make a good meal to provide for their family. And they get a lot of ingredients and they mix them together. And then they bake it or whatever they need to do. And we are blessed with that. Now, sometimes we had a dear sister at home. She was a little of the old fashioned, like maybe I am too for that matter. But sometimes she liked the recipe and so she asked for it. And then later she said, you know, it just didn't turn out right. And she was one of those, rather than go get the right ingredient if she didn't have it, she substituted something. And, of course, it didn't always work. But what a blessing as we think about that. And so as I think of that, I think of the church as a body of believers that are sanctified and equipped with various gifts. This is all a gift of God. And various gifts and abilities for the edifying of the body in the glory of God. Together, we love, we serve, we edify, we rejoice, we grieve, we weep together, and bear one another's burdens. That's the body of Christ. And I trust you love it. I trust you embrace it. And you seek by the grace of God to fill your place in the church. There's a dear brother in another community passed away a few months ago. I've been a friend of his and blessed by him. He's older than I. He had the gift of singing, of leading singing. And I was always blessed, even when he got older, you know, his enthusiasm to sing the Word of God. And I was really inspired. And some people, you know, they had a few things about him they didn't quite appreciate. But the thing that really blessed me, once that brother passed away, I was told recently it has affected the whole church. He said they're just struggling with grief to go through this experience of this dear brother passing on. But brothers and sisters, this morning, what a blessing to pass on to eternity. I know it's difficult. It's not easy. As I was preparing to come here, I couldn't help but think of dear Jenny and her brother Steve Burke, that they are now not going to be here this morning. And you know, I began to reminisce about their life. As I thought of brother Steve, I thought of him sitting over here very erect with his ears open, listening to the gospel message. Just the way he used to drink it in was a blessing to me, as well as other areas of his life, but I didn't know him that well. Then I think of dear Jenny. I was told that she's kind of on the end of her journey. And so I called someone and said, is it possible I could talk to her? I said, sure, call her. She'll be glad to talk to you. It wasn't but a few weeks. I'm not sure how long before she passed on. And you could tell she was cheerful, but you could also see there was, here there was a struggle there. So I told her of a scripture that I love, and I turned to it, and I read her maybe several verses, but especially verse 9 of 1 Peter 1. We'll be using that for a message this morning. And it's simply this: whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Think about it. Think about it. And she said she was blessed by that. She believed that. And we believe she is eternally saved. Praise God. And we too can be that. I've entitled my message this morning, Faithful to the End. Faithful to the End. And I trust that's each one of our desires. You know, the end is going to come with all of us unless the Lord returns and takes us all home. But I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'd like to read the first 9 verses. I have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and recently I'm beginning to pay more attention to the titles that they put in front of a chapter. And I'm just going to read these. The Apostle's Address is the first couple of verses. Verse 3 to 9, he blesses God for their hope of a blessed immortality. In verse 10 through 12, he showeth that their salvation in Christ has been foretold by the apostles of old. And then 13 on, he exhorts them to godliness. And I believe that message is still for us today. There's something about the writings of Peter and his life that have blessed me immensely. And I guess one of the reasons is that it was evident that he was human just like you and I. So if you will turn with me to 2 Peter. We know that Peter had denied Christ three times. And then in verses 2 Peter 1, verse 10 through 15. I'm so blessed by this, where it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give election to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Is that your desire this morning? "For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that surely I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Did you get the message? Yes, Peter denied Jesus Christ three times. When he repented, he had a desire to let people know about Jesus Christ and the importance of living for him. And I'm blessed as he says this, "knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." But he said this is what he's going to do. "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able to, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." That's why he wrote 1 and 2 Peter, to remind us of the importance of living for God. What a blessing. So we have the scripture here today, and he said, "Even after I'm gone, I want you to know the importance of the Word of God and living for him." And I believe that should be all of our desire. You know, after we're gone, maybe we'll be forgotten soon. Then we think, I don't know. But I know one thing. If the Lord is at work in our heart and life, I believe there will be things because of God that we will be remembered by. And I trust that our life can be a blessing. But most of all, that our purpose in life is not to bring attention to ourselves, but to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. We praise God for that. Now going back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Like to just look at these verses here and number them. Here it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." What a blessing as we think of that. He here is writing to the church, and he's simply saying this, that elect, and then he says here, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Brothers and sisters, this morning, as we think of the love of Christ and his grace, wouldn't be for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here. And then he says, "And peace be multiplied." I believe Peter is here saying we should receive the grace of God, experience it, be blessed by it, be enabled by it. And then through that grace, we experience peace. And with that peace, let that peace of God that we experience be multiplied. I understand years ago, well, it still is, I guess, up in Buffalo, New York, there's a Peace Bridge. It's named Peace. And the reason this bridge was built, that the people of Canada and the people of New York had difficulty interacting with each other because there was a river between them. And so they built this bridge, and they called it Peace Bridge. And, you know, so they could share peace, so they could travel back and forth and relate with each other. But there was one thing about this bridge that some people probably didn't like. I remember crossing it and being glad for the privilege of crossing it. But they had a fee. It charged you so much. And I didn't try it. But if I would have told him, well, I want the benefit of the bridge, but I'm not willing to pay the price, I doubt if it'll let me cross. And it wasn't that expensive. But brothers and sisters, I think we can sell out our peace of God for far less than it crossed that bridge. May God help us to recognize what it cost for Jesus to give us peace. And that we have this today, and may we claim that even in the Church of Jesus Christ as brothers and sisters. Sometimes we lose our peace, but praise God, when we acknowledge our transgression, our sin, we ask for forgiveness. He forgives us, and the body of believer forgives us. Praise God for that. And it's what? And it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. We praise him for that. Then he says, the blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a blessing. Then he goes further and he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Can you fully comprehend that? For our sister, for our brother. And I was looking in one of your calendars, a lot of your people that have gone on before. And a lot of them are recognized. And it's such a, you know, it's something sad, and yet there's something rejoicing. And really, it's the end of life we're looking forward to, is it not? We enjoy life here. We enjoy our brothers and sisters, our families, our companions. But being children of God, we knowing there's something far beyond. And it's difficult at times, but praise be to God, we can look forward to it. And as he says in verse 4, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you have reservations this morning? Do you have reservations to someday go to that inheritance, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us? Then he says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Then here in verse 7 it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I think all of us, if we're honest, we experience some trials, some difficulties in life. But he tells us here, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Are we looking forward to that? And looking forward to his return, that someday we can be there and we can be with ever. Be there forever. Then as he goes further and he says, which we'd already read, whom having not seen, ye love. Have you seen Jesus? Do you love him? Whom, having not seen, we love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Maybe we don't see Jesus, but I believe we do. We see him at work in the hearts and lives of people, of ourselves, if we know him. And what a blessing that is. I was asked to help someone purchase an automobile, a single person. And I answered an ad about 100 miles away. And when I got off the phone, I told my wife, you know, I couldn't see him on the other end, but told my wife, I wonder if that man's not a Christian. Never heard of him before. And so I told him I would be back, and this girl, well, she was in her 50s. Her parents had just died. They sold the home place. She needed a vehicle, and she needed a home. And so I had shared that a little bit. But a little later, he called me, and he turned it around. And he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. And I was blessed by that. And then he began to, I told him that I am a Christian, but of the Mennonite faith. And he said, then he started saying, you know this person, that person? I said, sure, I know him. He was surprised. And I was surprised that he knew the same person. But you know, it's a blessing to be able to live the Christian life and someone recognize you as a child of God. I remember traveling many years ago on a plane, and I was going to another church for some church problems. And we landed, but we didn't have to get off the plane. And even before we landed, a stewardess, I think she had a dress on, long hair, and I was reading a book. I was by the window, and I didn't really, wasn't paying any attention to anybody. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice say, sir, are you a Christian? And I turned around, and I said, yes, I am. And, of course, she went back to her work. When the plane landed, and those had gotten off the plane that needed to, she came and sat down beside me. And she said, asked me a few questions about my Christian life. And she said, how are you different than general Protestantism? And so I told her about the Bible and how we take it, what it says, and we put it in practice. And I even mentioned communion and feet washing. She got excited. And she was a new Christian. But she said they had communion, and she and this older lady got a bucket and washed each other's feet. Then she proceeded to tell me that the only, she doesn't have much interaction with other Christians. So she said, when I get on the plane and to do my work, I look for somebody that I think is a Christian, so I can fellowship with them. And I was blessed with them. I gave her my book that I was reading, and I've often wished I could had some contact with her, but I didn't. This morning, do you love Jesus Christ? And are we living the life that is pleasing to him? As I think of, well, we'll leave that to a little bit later. Now I'd like to read a few more verses here. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now slip down to verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto them themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, that I preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, like these other few verses that Peter's sharing here, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, the gospel brings change into our life, does it not? Then it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It says here, seeing ye have, in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Last week, my wife and I visited one of her relatives, old Lord Amish man, and sometimes maybe we judge them without really knowing what they believe. Well, we stopped there, and he had just come home from town with his horse and buggy, and so my wife walked over there. And he began to tell her about his horse. After he had him put away, he brought another horse out with a little colt. And it was only 2 weeks old. And he had a halter on it. He said he puts a halter on that little colt, those colts, when they're only 1 week old. And while my wife was there, things went quite well, just the two of them, but then later three more of us came, and they got a little bit on the nervous side. But he brought the colt out again, and he walked over to this colt, and he put his arm around the colt's neck, and he just pulled it up real tight against it and held it and talked to it. He said it understands Dutch better than it does English. And he talked to it, and then after he put it back in the stall, he said, if you can love that, he didn't use the word love, but affection to that colt, and you win it, you have it for life. And I said, well, that's what we need when we train our children. We need to have love for them, that they know that we love them. And then he said, God, unbegreiflich. Well, you don't know what that means, most of you do, some of you, means few might, but I don't know if I can fully interpret it, but he was saying, you know, the love of God, you can't really fully understand it and comprehend it. And we went in the house and visited with him a while, and finally he said, have you ever thought about it that at night your thought life is different than it is during the day? I said, well, there are times, yes, when I'm awake, can't sleep. I maybe repeat the Lord's Prayer a number of times, or some song, or some memory verses. And I can't say I really enjoy just being awake. He said, well, he's gotten to the place, I think he's 70 years old, he's gotten to the place where he likes to lay awake at night and think about God and about his goodness. And I was blessed by that testimony. And I think it's evident that he knows the Lord Jesus. And he's looking forward to someday being in his presence. Praise God for that. I'd like to turn to, I came across this scripture not too long ago in Romans chapter 15. Verse 32, I wrote it down, and I was blessed by it. And it says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. And so this, and I can honestly say that when I come here, I'm usually refreshed by your singing, by your testimonies, and by your love for one another. And if I have refreshed you, it's only because of the grace of God in work in my life. But you know, sometimes we go on vacation to be refreshed. It has its place. But I believe there's no place where we really get the true refreshment like it is from gathering with fellow believers and working together, loving together, and interceding one for another. Bearing with one another. What a blessing that is. We got married. I had started building a new house, and it was inside of a hill, and we didn't have near enough dirt for the front yard. So for 2 years, we didn't have a yard. And my wife, from a little girl up, loved a yard. And fact is, they didn't have a lawnmower, so she took a little sickle and she would mow the grass with that. She had some sheep that helped her too, but she didn't care for that as much. But so she was really looking forward to having a yard. And finally, after hauling 140 loads of dirt in, we finally had one. Well, that dirt came with a lot of seeds too that we really didn't want. But I came home from work one day. We were just young married, and she said, well, I dug dandelions today in the yard. And we just talked about this the other day. I couldn't hardly believe it. She said, I dug 6 bushels of dandelion out of the yard. And in fact, she had some trouble with her hands for a long time because of that. But that evening, I went downtown. It was in the spring of the year. And they had a sign as I walked into this hardware store, had a poster. It was probably 3 foot long. And it showed a dandelion on that poster. And it showed the roots that go way down in the ground, deep. And then it said that don't cut them off, spray them. Said, if you cut them off, why, just make them grow some more. It's just like Christians, you know, when they're persecuted. That's, as the Bible speaks here, then we grow. And so I think I bought her a can of spray and took it home. And well, just the other day again, she still believes it's good to cut them. So she was out in the yard cutting the dandelion and then putting some spray down in there to kill those roots and go way down. But I discovered something about the dandelion. Fact is, Robert kind of maybe wondered why I was out walking around looking for dandelions, but I was. And of course, they had cut most of them off, so some of them were very short. But there's something about a dandelion, especially early in the spring. They always grow taller than its surroundings. If a grass is 6 inches tall, a dandelion is 7. I had a brother tell me that he found some weeds that were 35 inches tall, and the dandelion was 36. And if you cut that grass, those weeds away from that dandelion, why, the dandelion will probably fall over. It's just tube-like, and it's very weak, but the surrounding help it to stay straight. And isn't that beautiful? But you know why it does that? Why it rises above the grass? The sun pulls it up. The sun. Brothers and sisters, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the Son of God, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That blesses me as I think of the sun warming the earth, warming that dandelion, pulling it right out of its circumstances. And then the Son of God looking unto Jesus. I mow about 3 acres, and the other evening as I was up on the hill there mowing, I had mowed it several times, so the dandelions, some of them, they just knock over and they pop right back up. But not only were there dandelions all over that field, but these little, beautiful little buttercups, just little yellow things. And they did the same thing that the dandelions did. The sun brought them up above the surroundings. One day, dandelions, they're a little earlier to bloom than some are. Some flowers. So one spring, when that was the only flower around, I picked a little bouquet and I took it into my wife. And I said, give you a bouquet of flowers. She grinned a little bit, but just recently she opened up her Bible or book, whatever it was, and said, I still have this dandelion here, and it's been there for a number of years. So I think it reminds her of my love for her. Praise be to God that we have a Savior. We have a Son of God that we can look to and receive strength and enabling for the trials and things that we are enduring. God will help us through them. I praise God for that. This morning, the Bible tells us that there's a beginning and there's also an end. There's a beginning and there's an end. And in between the beginning and the end, God calls us to himself, and we trust, live for him, and bring honor and glory to him. As I think of the title of my message, Faithful to the End, I didn't take time this morning to look for a Webster dictionary. But I remember some years ago looking at the word faithful in Webster's dictionary. I don't know if he was a Christian or Anabaptist or not. But this, I was quite surprised what it said. It said faithful had different things. And it said faithful as a church member who's in good standing and able to go communion. Think about that. In good standing. I thank God that we can be in good standing if we love him and serve him and glorify him. This morning, I trust you have made a beginning. If you haven't, young people, children, it's the only life worth living is the life for Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of that, and I praise God But it's very important that we remain faithful to the calling. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation unto salvation, and ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Shall we kneel before prayer? Our eternal Father, we come to you with praise and gratitude in our hearts. We thank you for your love that you have manifested to us in so many ways. We thank you, Father, that you gave your Son, and he was willing to leave the glories of heaven and to come down this earth and be born and to be crucified and to die. But we're thankful the grave could not contain him. But he rose, and he's ascended into heaven, and he is there eternally. And we thank you that he has provided so we too can enter the glories of heaven because of accepting and receiving salvation that he has provided for us. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We pray your blessing upon them as they continue to live in this community and as they continue to be a shining light in this dark world in which we live, and bring glory to thyself. We pray, Father, for those that are still grieving, that you, who are the God of all comfort, would be with them and bless them and comfort them. We think of the brother who's in the hospital, Father, that you would be there with his companion and family in the church here, that together you would bless them for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.